Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 140 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her heart. Yeah, this is going to be a terrific segment. But before we start in, just know that this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after this wonderful episode to rate and review us because I'm sitting around waiting to hear from you. That's correctamundo. I read all of this. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Okay, well, despite the abundance of public awareness campaigns, 90% of women have one or more risk factors for heart disease or stroke and cardiovascular disease, which remains the leading killer of women. No, it's not breast cancer. And guess what? Most women don't know about this. In other words, they're walking around clueless, and they may be at high risk for heart disease, and they're just not plugged into a level of awareness and then a strategy to be able to work around preventing heart disease or even treating it if you already have them. Well, we got a rescue effort here going in the form of Dr. Stacy Rosen, who is the author of Heart Smart for Women, 6 Steps in 6 Weeks to Heart Healthy Living. Dr. Rosen is a professor of cardiology and the Partners Council Professor of Women's Health at the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell and Vice President Women's Health, Katz Institute for Women's Health. I'm exhausted just thinking about all the work you do. Jeez. Dr. Rosen, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thanks, Dr. Ben. It's wonderful to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience about this.
So what about this disconnect I just talked about? I mean, seriously,
yeah.
I think that if you and I talk to most women today, they would tell us that it was probably, breast cancer or something else that was the number one killer. And I bet they know their husband's cholesterol level and not their own. I mean, what's up with this?
I know. You are so right. And every time I hear it still, from educated women with access to care, I sort of hit myself in the head, feeling that we've been at this now for over 20 years. The data is everywhere, but we're certainly, there's some disconnect with what we think we're accomplishing in the medical world and what our patients and our community members really know and how they're acting on it.
Well, all right. So you've written this book, Heart Smart for Women. Why did you write it? Why are you so passionate about this?
Yeah, thanks. So, I've been practicing cardiology for over 25 years. And, you know, when I started in the 80s, it's just the years that we realized that women were dying from heart disease more than men, even though we still call this a man's disease. We studied men and we poo-pooed women who came thinking that there was something wrong with their heart. And in those days, we kind of, you know, clucked, we patted them on the hand, sometimes we gave them an anxiety medication rather than a workup. And we finally started studying women and heart disease and getting the word out. And it became clear that it shouldn't just be about preventing disease. It really should be about improving health. And so we wrote this book to, A, raise awareness, and to, B, give a real user's manual, a real how-to, to really optimize your heart health from the get-go. Young women, their 20s and 30s, to start getting on a road to heart health.
You know, I'm having greater hope because so many of these younger people are also more clued into their health. You know, a long time ago, I mean, this is a generational thing. you know, you met up to eat a big meal and hang out and have a good time. Now people are saying, hey, meet me at the gym. Why don't we take a walk? Why don't we go to yoga together? It's sort of a new culture. Obviously,
Absolutely.
This isn't permeated everybody, but I think it's a big movement. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're entirely right. And the great news is that so many of the things that you can do to prevent heart disease, or I'll flip it and say optimize or improve your heart health, also works on brain health and cognition and healthy aging. So, you know, it's almost a two-for-one deal. Doing the things that optimizes heart health can keep your brain functioning better as you age, not just into your real older ages, but even into your middle ages, you know, the fuzzy brain that some menopausal women talk about. So seeing this generation find these to be almost, I'll call them the default options. As you said, a walking meeting becomes a given for some offices that I work in, as opposed to let's go out for a big meal. And all of these things that you do starting in your young ages have an enormous impact, and you're in control of them. It's not something that's being done to you.
I love it. Okay, now, you mentioned 6 steps in 6 weeks. Talk to us about those.
Yeah, so we really wanted to make this something, you know, women also have this tendency of, you know, if I don't do it perfectly, I don't want to do it at all. And, you know, we always find the reason I'll wait till next Monday. So like I said, we really wanted to make this, you know, simple and doable. And we thought by putting it into 6 easy steps, we would get that moving. And we would, what we're hoping is that this book is really used as a user's manual. We want people to put little sticky notes on it and highlight something so that it's, you know, it's usable. It's not an encyclopedia.
I love it. All right. Well, let's just dive in here. What are the 6 steps? Let's do it.
So the first step in the first week is to walk around your kitchen. Walk around your pantry, your refrigerator, your drawers, in some cases with a big black garbage bag, and figure out what is in your house. What's the sort of stuff that is good for you and healthy, and what are the sort of things that shouldn't be in your refrigerator? And we're not suggesting wasting or throwing out food. Maybe bring it to, you know, someone who's, you know, is able to resist the temptation better than you. But really going through and seeing what's in and purging your pantry. And then replacing those items with healthy choices. You know, we suggest making a master shopping list that'll allow you to always have healthy fruits and vegetables in your house. Always have whole grains rather than white things, bread or rice in your home. Take a look around the perimeter of a supermarket, for instance. That's where the fruits and vegetables are. That's where the low-fat dairy products are. So really be sure that your house, your office, if you keep snacks there, your car, your handbag, wherever you're going to keep food, be sure that you purge the bad stuff and really identify and restock with healthy choices. So that's week one.
Okay, keep it going.
Keep it going. Week two is about taking control of your activity and choosing to move. And I think physical fitness or physical activity or exercise, those words are just curse words to some women. Again, they think that you have to do it all. You have to be slim and a marathon runner and join an expensive gym. And the truth is you just don't. Decide that you're just going to move more. Ultimately, you want to walk or do something 30 minutes most days with a goal of being 150 minutes a week, and figure out a way to make it fun so it's not a chore. For some people, it's dancing while they're watching TV. It's walking meetings. It's walking the dog more. For some, it's running. For some, it's, you know, comparing Fitbit monitoring numbers and making it a competitive thing amongst friends. Ultimately, every time you have an opportunity to walk more, to run more, to do more, you take it. You don't take the steps if you don't have to. You park your car far away. I'm a big fan of the trackers because they sort of, when you think that you've done a lot at the end of the day, it gives you, you know, one more look at what you've done and maybe another 15 minutes, you know, while you're watching TV on a treadmill gets it in. physical activity and moving more is great for blood pressure, for your weight and your waist circumference. It's phenomenal for cholesterol, for cognition, for preventing diabetes. Anywhere you move is really important. That is
excellent.
Too. We tell people to log it because I think it's really important. Going on to week three, we talk about eating well, and we separate that week into eating at home and eating while dining out. Because as you said, the reality is not everybody has those large family meals around the table any longer. We're a generation and a society on the run, and we eat out. So we go through simple changes, tremendous number of try this, not that, some simple things and, you know, simple suggestions with hard suggestions on what to buy, what to eat in which kind of stores, what it means to have a colorful plate and, you know, the value of certain fishes and less dairy. And we actually cut through some of the challenges in figuring out the conflicting information that you can get online or in the press about this diet versus that diet. And we don't use the word diet because that's sort of a curse word also. It's just, you know, how you eat, how you set your table, what you do when you leave the house. That is
Boy, have we gone far when it comes to that word diet. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I hate it.
You know, you and I are both physicians. I would say that if someone had, you know, a real metabolic condition or back and forth, there's going to be a different dietary intake and something more customized because there's medical something going on. But, you know, just the whole, you know, cachet, the stereotype with that word is just such a turnoff to most women. They just run the opposite direction. So I think what really resonates with them is the way you put it in your book, which is this is just a way of nourishing yourself. You know, you've got food,
exactly.
Whole food. And by the way, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. I'm sure you have. That wonderful documentary based upon his book. This is you can find this on Netflix, which is called In Defense of Food on Netflix by Michael Pollan, who is from my alma mater at Berkeley, who is a journalist. Who's has he just done the best job or what? And he really keeps it beautiful, natural, you know?
Yes. And the advice is in a positive vein. You know, an interesting study came out, a group from Cedars-Sinai and other cardiology centers around the country, that, as you said, women still don't know about their risk for heart disease, and that women often fear going to the doctor because they're afraid that all the doctor's going to do is tell them to lose weight. How awful is that to know that, you know, instead of making our patients, community members, women, feel empowered on all the things they can do to improve their health, they're actually not going to the doctor out of fear that they're going to be embarrassed about their weight. It's absolutely counterproductive and crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, there's so much body shaming and judgment out there and back and forth. And then, you know, if you're not getting it in a medical setting one way or the other, you sure are getting mixed signals from media and everyone else.
Yep.
I mean, it's just become a real nutcase place out there when it comes to all of this. And, you know, what gets lost in the shuffle is what you're all about. And that is you're a cardiologist. And you're trying to help women, you know, stay healthy for crying out loud, to help prevent cardiovascular disease. And yet they're getting all tangled up in the weeds of the craziness out there in our culture.
Yep.
And throughout the medical care system, which is this whole thing about weight and what it all means, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that you did, you know, your homework well. And in the book, you've actually framed it in a way that I think is very consumer-friendly and very woman-friendly. Certainly helps that you and your co-author are women. Kind of get it, you know,
exactly.
By doing that. Oh, boy, and here's something else, right? And that is something that women just blow off right and left in deference to the 933 things on their to-do list, three of which they ever get to
absolutely.
Anyway, and that is sleep. Sleep just doesn't happen,
yeah.
right? So what happens when you don't have sleep?
That brings us to week five.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, week five is sleeping well, stress less, and savor life. That's one of our S weeks. And the day, you know, sleep used to be almost a badge of courage, you know, particularly for working women. Oh, I don't need sleep. I'm up at six. I get the kids off. I'm in the gym. And we almost, you know, as a culture, brag about the lack of sleep. Sleep is for wimps. You know, there's no time for that. And the truth is, there's more and more data over the last 10 years that not sleeping an appropriate amount for most people, that's 6 to 8 hours every night, has very objective and very negative effects on our health, from raising blood pressure to increasing our risk for heart attack and stroke to heart rhythm disturbances to lung disease. I can really go on and on the importance of sleep for, you know, objective measures of good health. And you know, for some women, you hit an age or, you know, perimenopause or beyond, where there's a lot of challenges going to sleep. And so we talk about sleep hygiene in that chapter and some, you know, again, hard and fast suggestions on how to prioritize sleep and how to lower the risk of bad night's sleep and too little sleep and lower the risk from, you know, sleepless nights.
I love it. Well, you know, and I think really at the end of the day, one of the most important points you bring up throughout the book is you've got to be your own health advocate, right? Ain't nobody going to be doing this for you, girlfriends, which means that
absolutely.
Instead of just knowing what your, you know, partner's cholesterol is, how about your own? Just saying. So how about making certain that you see a provider that you feel very comfortable with? If someone is causing you angst, pitch them and move on to a provider that really feels empathy and compassion and will help teach you about yourself when it comes to becoming heart healthy. So quite frankly, it means knowing numbers. What is your blood pressure?
Yep.
What's your resting pulse? What is your lipid profile? Sit down with someone, write them down, get a copy of that lab test, have someone go through it with you. And a lot of this, you know, is going to be changing as you get older. Hello, menopause. And it's so important to be able to partner with a provider like Dr. Stacy Rosen, who has the empathy, the knowledge base, the years of experience to be able to help you navigate all of that. But please, please, please take responsibility here. You got to do this for yourself.
Yep.
Stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Ask the hard questions. Know how to put together the strategy. And, you know, a piece of the strategy is finding that right provider. Now, I'm kind of hankering and ranting on that one because I think a lot of women just sort of, as it were, put up with someone who is maybe, you know, not empathetic, who is not working well with them. Don't you agree, Stacey?
Absolutely. And the irony of what you've just described, which is so spot on, is the fact that it becomes the perfect storm of badness for women. Number one, they take care of everybody before they take care of themselves. In fact, a few years ago, one of my girlfriends, you know, middle aged, I asked her, did she know her cholesterol, her blood sugar, her blood pressure? She looked at me and said, I go for my mammogram every year, Stacey. I don't have time for that heart stuff.
Oh, my
God.
There
you
go.
You have women, right? You have women taking care of everyone but them. You have women driving 80% of the healthcare decisions for the family. So, you know, the way they take care of themselves sets an example. So that's number two in the perfect storm. And number three, as you said, women tolerate physicians. I joke that women would fire a hairdresser after one bad haircut, but they tolerate and accept a doctor who they don't communicate with or they're afraid to ask questions of. You know, on and on. And we, you know, we tell women, fire a doctor. It doesn't matter if your friend likes him or her or he's the best. There's no such thing. Find the best doctor for you is someone who's, you know, appropriately credentialed, knows their stuff, but also who you can make a relationship with over a lifetime, because that partnership allows your care to be customized. And then you're not afraid to ask questions. Then you're not, you know, afraid to disagree. And finally, we tell everyone, come prepared for your doctor's appointment. You would never go to the accountant without all your paperwork, all the bills. Well, you come to a doctor's appointment with your medical history, with a list of your medicines, with everything that may be important. Maybe you bring someone with you so they can take notes or write out your questions beforehand so that you could really maximize the value of each appointment that you take. And women, as you said, own this. You know, we take control of so much else in our lives. This is the most important thing to take control of.
Oh, there's no question about it. I love this. So everyone out there in her podcast land, we have been talking to Dr. Stacy Rosen. She is the author of Heart Smart for Women, 6 Steps in 6 Weeks to Heart Healthy Living. Again, Heart Smart for Women, 6 Steps in 6 Weeks to Heart Healthy Living. And, you know, you can go right to the website, heartsmartmovement.com. Ooh, I love it. Proceeds benefit the Katz Institute for Women's Health. And I just think this is nothing but a win-win all the way around. Dr. Rosen, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast.
Wonderful. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And keep up the marvelous work. Remember to catch every episode out there in Her Podcast land. You know, just like this one. This was such a great episode. By simply hitting subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And now, right now, take just a few seconds, rate and review this podcast, because I'm waiting to hear from you. Always love that feedback. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on my Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek and on my Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.